Welcome to Five of the Best. This is a podcast that I would listen to, and I'm starting out with a James Bond. I know there's two admissions from the James Bond I've left out. One from Barry Nelson, and the other one is David Niven, both who played James Bond, and both played Casino Royale, but neither of them were official James Bonds, so they're not in here. First, I'm going to talk a little about Ian Fleming. James Bond was introduced to the world by Ian Fleming in 1953 with the book Casino Royale. All 15 of the James Bond books were written by Ian Fleming in his Jamaican estate, Goldeneye. The name Goldeneye probably came from when Ian worked for National Intelligence during the Second World War, and Operation Goldeneye was an operation thought up by Ian Fleming to monitor the Spanish Civil War and keep up communications with Gibraltar. It was probably here, while working in British intelligence, that the idea of James Bond came about. It was his responsibility to send out secret agents on these dangerous missions, and he must have got talking to them and have heard some wonderful stories after. After the war, Ian Fleming worked as a stockbroker for 5 years, something he regrets doing, but probably made a great deal of money doing it. He then joined the Daily Mail writing, which was really his passion, to become a journalist, and he was encouraged to write his novels by the owner of the Daily Mail. It must be said at this point that the Fleming family seemed to be incredibly well connected. It was his family's connections that got him the Royal Intelligence job during the Second World War, same with the stockbroker, and also with the journalist at the Daily Mail. It's not what you know, it's who you know. The James Bond books were incredibly successful, and after Casino Royale, at least one James Bond book came out every year for the next 11 years, with the last one being The Man with the Golden Gun. But with all the success, Ian Fleming was getting tired and frustrated with the character, and was looking for ways to kill James Bond off. It was only when they started making the films that a new love for the character came about, and he was heavily involved in all three of the films before he died. But before he died, he wrote a book in a new direction, came out of a children's story, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. A little about Sean Connery, the first James Bond. Sean Connery was born in Scotland in 1930. In his early life, his first job was a milkman before joining the Royal Navy, and it was here that he became interested in bodybuilding and started seriously training for the 1953 Mr. Universe contest, where he was placed third. After leaving the Royal Navy, he went back home to his hometown and started working for a local theatre, mostly behind the scenes, but he got increasingly more involved in the acting, and by the age of 27, he declared himself to be a full-time actor. In 1957, when he was 27, he was credited with two characters, Mike, and the second character was Welder Number 2. By 1962, and with one lead role behind him, Ian Fleming was looking for a James Bond. In fact, Ian Fleming wanted a David Niven, a Rex Harrison, and he actually thought he got Cary Grant, but Cary Grant refused to sign a two-pick deal, which left the door open for Sean Connery to play in the first James Bond film, Dr. No. The Dr. No was in fact the fifth book to be written, but it was chosen purely because the production jacks would be cheap. In Dr. No, we was introduced to Ursula Andrews, who was voted the hottest Bond girl ever. The budget of Dr. No was in fact 1 million, and it grossed 56 million, so it was incredibly successful. And this was quickly followed by With Russia of Love, and then the third film, which was Goldfinger, which had a budget of 3.5 million, and that grossed a total of 120 million. In 1965 we saw Thunderball, and in 1967 we saw You Only Live Twice. Following this, Sean Connery quits the James Bond role to concentrate on other projects, only to return back in 1971 for Diamonds Are Forever. And then he quit, and then he came back again in 1983 to play Never Say Never Again, and then he quit. And Never Say Never Again was not an official James Bond franchise, but was still incredibly successful. It was in direct competition with Octopussy, not doing quite as well as Octopussy. It was made for 36 million, and it grossed 161 million. This brings the total of films in which Sean Connery played James Bond up to seven. The next actor to play James Bond is the forgotten Bond, George Lazenby. George Lazenby was born in New South Wales in Australia in 1939, and in his early life he came back to the UK and found work as a used car salesman before being talent spotted by a scout and persuaded to become a model, which is what he did, and this led to some acting and TV roles, and famously a commercial called The Big Fry. After Sean Connery had quit James Bond for the first time in 1967, Albert Broccoli, the producer, was looking for a new James Bond, and he bumped into George Lazenby at his local hairdresser's, and they got chatting, and he was so impressed with George Lazenby that he got a screen test, and it's through this series of screen tests that Albert Broccoli had managed to find his new James Bond for On Her Majesty's Secret Service. George Lazenby was a relatively untested actor, and his experience of the James Bond franchise was, well, he was treated very shabbily, maybe not through his fault really. His experiences on set started early with the director, Peter Hunt, who refused to talk to him directly and then denied access to his friends to visit him on site. And there was bad blood. And there was bad blood after the filming and the PR responsibilities are finished, with George Lazenby quitting the James Bond role, saying that he'll never play the part again, and claiming that he would make more money doing adverts. And which is possibly true. When Sean Connery did his last film, You Only Live Twice, he was paid $1.1 million for the role. George Lazenby was paid $80,000 for the role. Having said that, this is one of my favourite James Bond films, and although it wasn't the runaway success of the earlier films, it was still very profitable. It was made for $8 million and made a very healthy $82 million. But what happened after George Lazenby quit? Well, he struggled to find work in the USA and the UK, and he moved to Japan, where he found a niche of playing the English gent in these kung fu films, and played with such characters such as Bruce Lee, and was very successful. And of course he married Pam Schreiber, which makes up for everything. The next actor to play James Bond was Roger Moore. Roger was born in Stockwell in 1927, and during the Second World War, as a child he was evacuated to Devon, where he got most of his schooling. After the Second World War, an 18-year-old Roger was conscripted into national service, and he served 3 years in the army, leaving as a captain. After leaving the army, he found work as a knitwear model, and which he got a lot of jibes from his friends, but this led to some acting and minor TV roles. And by 1950, MGM offered him a punt and offered him a contract to work in America. And he worked a lot in America. He was very successful, prolific, but he never became the big star, and MGM cancelled his contract and he returned to the UK. Roger's big break came in 1962, where he landed the role as The Saint. The Saint is basically a James Bond for the TV, but it was an incredibly successful series. He played The Saint for 7 years, and in fact, in 1967, he was the highest paid actor in the world, playing the Saint. In 1969, the opportunity to play in James Bond had came around, but the Saint's commitments had ruled him out. But by 1971, the opportunity came around again, and Roger Moore was the obvious choice, and that's what happened. And we saw his debut in Live and Let Die, which was a hugely successful film. It was made for $7 million, and it made a healthy profit of $161 million. Then there came one of my favourite films, The Man with the Golden Gun. That was made for $8.3 million and made a return of $94 million. But there's no accounting for taste, because the next film made more than double that. The Spy Who Loved Me was made for $9.6 million and made $185 million. But then came another four films, all very successful, but becoming increasingly slapstick. And the last time he played James Bond was in 1983 with Octopussy, still a very successful film, made for $32 million and made $185 million. This brings the number of films Roger Moore made up to seven and is the longest serving when playing it for 11 12 years.